So, 007 is dead.
Yes, sir. I'm afraid so.
M took a last, fleeting look at the photographs that lay scattered across his desk, and that had been sent to him by General Andrei Anatonin, his counterpart at the SDECE, or the Service de Documentation Extérieure et de Contre-Espionnage in Paris. They'd been taken from different angles, but showed the same bleak image. A dead man, lying face down in dark, glistening water, his hands stretched out limply above his head, as if in one last futile attempt at surrender. The flash bulbs from the cameras had reflected back, producing balls of brilliant light that seemed to float on the surface. Eventually, the police had pulled him out and laid him on the quayside so that closer pictures could be taken of his face, his hands, the three holes in the breast of his jacket where the bullets had penetrated. He had dressed expensively. M remembered him sitting in this very office only a month ago, wearing the suit that had been made for him by the tailor he liked to visit just off Savile Row. The suit had kept its shape, M reflected. It was the man who was lying there, dripping, wet and lifeless, who had lost his.
Are we sure it's him, Chief of Staff?
The evidence seemed inescapable, but M asked the question anyway. The camera can lie. In his world, it often did.
I'm afraid so, sir.
He was carrying no identity papers, no surprises there, and he didn't have his gun. But the French have bolinographed his fingerprints, and there's no doubt. It's 007, all right.
And this was taken in Marseille?
Yes, sir. The basin of La Joliette.
Bill Tanner was closer to M than anyone in the building, although the distance between them was incalculable. They had never eaten together, never inquired about each other's private lives. M despised small talk anyway, but it would not have occurred to either of them to discuss anything but current operations and the general work at hand. Even so, Tanner, previously a colonel in the sappers until he'd been sucked into the less formalized world of the Secret Intelligence Service, knew exactly what would be going on in the head of the older man. The death of an active agent was to be regretted, and 007 had been effective on more than one occasion. More important was to find out what had happened and to take immediate, quite probable, permanent countermeasures. It wasn't just a question of revenge. The service had to demonstrate that killing one of its operatives was nothing less than an act of war. He had actually been with M in this very room when the idea of a 00 section had first been mooted, the cipher being as blank and anonymous as possible. It was literally nothing and nothing again. And yet it meant everything to the elite group of men who were going to carry it, and who would at once be promoted to the front line of the country's war against its many enemies. Tanner still remembered the reaction of Sir Charles Massinger, permanent secretary to the Ministry of Defence, when the proposal had first been put to him. His lip had curled in evident distaste.
Are you serious? What you're suggesting here is tantamount to a license to kill.
It was the same old-fashioned thinking that had hampered the efforts of the Special Operations Executive at the start of the war. At first, the RAF had refused even to provide planes to transport their agents, not wanting to dirty their hands with Churchill's Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And now, just 5 years after VE Day, how many of those same agents were to be found in the corridors and offices of the tall grey building next to Regent's Park? Still ungentlemanly, still, whatever the public might think, at war. Tanner had listened as M quietly explained the point, which the civil servant had missed. Although it might not appear so, hostilities had not come to an end in 1945. There were a great many people dedicating themselves to the complete destruction of Great Britain and everything it stood for. Counterintelligence agencies like SMERSH in the Soviet Union and the Special Activities Committee of the People's Liberation Army in China. Or rogue elements, including Nazis, who still refused to believe that their precious Third Reich hadn't quite made its promised 1,000 years. You had to fight fire with fire, which meant that there was an urgent need for men, and women for that matter, who would be prepared to kill if only in self-defense. Death was part of the job. And like it or not, there would be times when the service would have to strike first, when a state-sponsored assassination would be the only answer to a particular threat. M could not have his hands tied. He was the one making the decisions, and he had to know that he could act with impunity. The license was as much for him as it was for the people he commanded. The 00 section had been kept deliberately small. In fact, after this recent loss, it was now down to just two men, 008 and 0011. M had always rejected the idea of there being a sequence, 001, 002, 003, and so on. Patterns, in any shape or form, are the enemy of counterintelligence. Tanner wondered how quickly 007 would be replaced.
What exactly happened?
M reached for his pipe,
which rested next to the ashtray made out of a 12-inch shell base that never left his desk.